everyone who is here, if you could sign one of the clipboards that's going to be going around. We need to actually take attendance when we have our annual meeting. We need to know legally how many people have come to the meeting. So what you have in your hands is the compilation of a lot of work from a lot of people. This is the report of what has gone on essentially in our church for the past year. You are welcome to take copies of this with you. It will also be posted in the Hawkins Room as well as on our website. But as we go through, this will help you see the different documents that we're talking about as we have our meeting. As members of the church, you have rights to ask questions. So if, as we're going along, you have questions, if they are very involved questions, we will be available after the service as well. So keep it mindful as well that if you think it's going to take a very long time, but most of the time, if you've got a question, it's a question that someone else has asked as well. The first thing we do is we need to approve the minutes from the annual meeting that was held last year at this time on January 26th, 2014. There they are. The minutes are on four and five. You know, it's terrible being old and blind, okay? Two and three, I knew that. If you've had time to read them, if someone would be willing to make a motion to accept the minutes from last year's meeting, Dan Cameron has made a motion to accept the minutes. Skip Beck has seconded the motion. Is there any additional discussion about the minutes? All in favor? All opposed? Motion carried. We are doing something special here now for just a moment. Many of you may know that in the past month, we've had a lot of different circumstances that have happened at the church, really, and this building, several Sundays in a row that have caused a lot of difficulty for us. We had some sewage coming up, and this is public information, so we're not telling you something. If you don't know this, then we'll tell you now. We had sewage come up through the basement where the NOAA program is, and we were unable to hold NOAA downstairs. We managed to hold it at 1 Church Street, which was great. We then had an additional problem that needed to be attended to. We had some piping next door that was leaking, and we are very blessed in this congregation to have a sexton, which is a very fancy word for a person who loves this church so much, who comes and takes care of all these things and who spent time here and continues to spend time here being a caretaker of this church and caretaking really all of us. So if you come in the church on Sunday mornings and you say, boy, it's so nice and clean and there's coffee made, well, there's a guy who comes in on his day off, not supposed to be here on Sundays, who does all that work and then all that additional work that we had relating to the sewage leak. Jim DeMore, if you would come forward, please. I know that all of you know him, but it is really worth making sure that we give him an extraordinary standing ovation and round of applause for this. We are very appreciative, and we have a gift for you that we would like you to have. So we want to make sure that you hear our appreciation. The words thank you seem so simple sometimes, but we are so very appreciative for all the work you were doing on behalf of this church, because you're working for the kingdom of God. And we're so appreciative that you keep it so beautiful for all of us here. And safe and clean and all the things that we don't realize because most of us aren't here when you're...
I wanted to say something Christmas Eve and I didn't get a chance to. It's really been a pleasure working here at St. John's. I'll tell you right now, I mean, it's just the way I am. I like things neat, clean. I like to keep things up. That's just the way I grew up. So I'm just doing my job, but I really, really appreciate what you folks have done for me at Christmas time and so forth. And I just want you to know I'm going to continue to do what I can as long as I can. I don't know how much longer I'll last, but especially with some of the things that go on, like Mother Laurie said downstairs. And I basically, like I say, she said, I go be above and beyond because that's the way I am. If I can save the church a few pennies, a few dollars, that's why I do it. Like fixing the pipe last week, 2 weeks ago, and the boiler down in the Y. It's fixed. It's a temporary fix, but it'll last the winter, and come spring, then we can shut the boiler down and worry about it then, you know, get the whole thing serviced. But that's just the way I've always been, and I want to thank you all again. It's a beautiful congregation, I'll tell you that. The people I've dealt with in the congregation, and you're all good people, from Mother Laurie right on down, and I just want to thank you again. I appreciate it, but I'd really, just to thank you is good enough. You didn't have to do what you've done, but thanks again.
Next item of business is that we have currently two candidates We actually have a total of, we have Roger Rhodes moving up into the senior warden position. He's already on vestry. He does not need to be elected to do that per se. We have Nancy Brown, who, gosh, was just about off vestry, and then we asked if she would continue to serve as junior warden this year and then senior warden next year, and she has gracefully agreed to do that. And we have Steve McGrattan, who has agreed to be a new vestry person for this coming year. You'll see that there is a number two with no name next to it. We still need an additional vestry member. We are asking the congregation. I have vestry nomination forms with me even as we speak. Should someone feel moved to serve on the vestry, we are more than happy to hear that. But at this time, what I'm going to do, because we can certainly receive nominations from the floor if people feel strongly about that right now, but that's harder to do because you can't really talk to the person and they feel pressured to say yes. What I would like to do is to be able to come back to the congregation at a later time to approve that third position. But at this time, we need a motion made to accept Roger Rhodes as senior warden, Nancy Brown as junior warden, and Steve McGrattan as a vestry member for this year. Is there a motion made? Kelly Lawler has made a motion. Joan Sayer has seconded the motion. Is there any discussion about this? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you for serving. We also have to elect delegates to the 2015 Diocesan Convention, which happens the first weekend of June every year. So the exact same meeting we have here, they have there, which with much more hoopla. Everyone in the congregation is welcome to attend that meeting, and we encourage people to do that. However, we actually need to have three lay delegates. Father Mark will be a delegate for the church. I'm also a delegate for the church. We get individual votes, but the three lay people have to vote as one body. They receive one vote at the convention. Therefore, St. John's will have a total of three votes at the diocesan convention in June. The one thing we also need on this list, however, and I will ask you to speak to me after the meeting again, we need an alternate. Should one of these people become unwell or if something comes up that prevents them from serving, we would love to know that one of you could be an alternate. An alternate is required to be at the site at least for the first night, which is Friday night, the first Friday of June. So it is something that we will actually need to have you show up for if you choose to do that. If you would like to do that, we would appreciate it if you would speak to me after the meeting. However, at this time, I would like a motion made to accept the slate of delegates as we have Roger Rhodes, Nancy Marucci, and Holly Chamberlain as delegates to the 2015 Annual Diocesan Convention. Is there a motion? Helen Frederick has made the motion. Second, Rosemary Brown. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. At this time, I'd like to invite Dave DeMore to come forward, who was our architect of residence. And John, are you coming forward too, or are you doing that in a little while? I don't know. Dave can tell you when it's your turn too. But I just want to make sure that we are appreciating both of you. Dave and John have both been dedicating an enormous amount of time to this project here that has already been completed, which is extraordinary. This time last year, this room did not look like this in the Hawkins room. And they are now dedicating an extraordinary amount of time to working with our One Church Street building to bring that up to code.
Okay, so real quick, I wanted to provide just a little bit of a history of where we've been and sort of set the stage for where we're going. Of course, last year we were reporting to please be patient as we undertook the Hawkins room renovation. Mission accomplished. We've got that done, and I think everybody can identify the benefit that that's provided the church so far. Thank you for your patience through that period of time. We did find that it was not completely without its little bit of stumbling blocks here and there, but that was not unexpected. But all in all, it went off really, really well. So once we got through... Thank you. All right. It wasn't just me. So we've accomplished that, and now we're on to some other big fish that need to be fried, okay? So just ahead of getting the Hawkins room started, the church undertook the enormous responsibility, and I don't say that lightly, of taking on the responsibility of what is now One Church Street, some of you may recognize as the former Johnstown YMCA. So we've been going through a process of programming and planning for that facility over the last year that tries to flush out exactly how the building will be used in the short term as well as long term to facilitate the church's mission beyond the four walls of this church. And that was something that was of deep deliberation, and going back to Steve's point earlier about determining the purposeful life, it goes beyond our individual purposes. There's a purpose that the church has, and I think the church has been undergoing its own internal reflection on what that means to have a purposeful congregation within the community. And as such, the acquisition of that property and the programming and use of that property will become really fundamentally a linchpin to much of the revitalization that we try to foster within downtown. So this is not just a one-off project. There is a multiple layer benefit that's going to be seen with this project. And as the congregation supports it, you're not just supporting the church, you're supporting the broader community, and you're to be commended for the faith of action that has been put before you, and I thank you, because as a resident of Johnstown, it's deeply moving to me that the community stand behind that kind of action. The other aspect of things related to acquiring that building has been the undertaking of a capital campaign. So we've, and you'll hear a little bit more about the status of that campaign. However, in establishing that campaign and getting some initial returns, we're actually going to go forward with some more work in the coming year. So we've identified five primary work items that we want to start to focus on. And these are directly related to much of the capital campaign material most of you or all of you should have received. And they are as follows. We are going to start to prioritize identifying the scope of work for restoration of the bell tower. That was identified as a priority within the congregation, and given the condition of the upper wood structure on the exterior, there is a need to do some kind of restoration work up there. We also will be going forward with a solution for waterproofing the north wall of the church here. That is something that has been a chronic problem with food storage down in the basement, and in general is never good to have water coming into your building. So we're going to be exploring options for taking care of that water infiltration problem. We're also looking to do something with the carpet that you're all standing on. So we do know that there have been issues with the subfloor in the narthex, and just as you're coming into the sanctuary here, the carpet itself is quite old. I don't know that anybody's pegged the real date to it, but it's been around a while. It's time to move on. So we're going to find a new carpeting solution and hopefully a new walk-off mat solution for the narthex that everybody can feel comfortable knocking their boots off and not have wood damage underneath. We're also going to be looking into some accessibility issues, primarily to facilitate accessibility to the One Church Street location. We're going to be looking into creating a main entrance on Church Street, which is literally right across the street from my left hand here. And the old side entrance to the Y has an accessible ramp up to that first floor, and we're going to look to make that wholly an operational door that meets code and is functional for a broad range of people and makes it easier to get into the facility. And I'm forgetting one. Do you? Is it five? Did I hit five? Okay, I forgot how to count. Ah, thank you. That's the one I missed. I thought it was only four. Okay. Okay. So the last piece is the sound system. And it was identified early on that there needs to be better, broader acoustic accessibility and clarity for the congregation. So they're working right now to create the specifications for an appropriate sound system that makes the services available to everybody. So that's all good news. So lastly, I did want to bring up that I have been lucky enough to be asked to participate in these projects, but it's not something that is done alone in a cave. There's a team that's brought together to make this happen. So standing next to me here is John Rizzo. I'd like him to kind of introduce himself a little bit and explain his role in the project and add whatever he'd like to that.
Good morning, everybody. Some of you, I see familiar faces out there. My family and I come typically to the 8 o'clock service, so 10 o'clock is not something we typically perform. But I married the daughter of Chuck and Sandy Van Slyke back there, Nadine Van Slyke. So we've been with the church since I was married in 96, and before that I was invited in. David and Mother Lori and the building committee, I was part of that when we did the Hawkins Room, and David's vision and the church's vision. It did require structural engineering, and that's my background and my company's background. So we've been supporting David throughout all the process of every project that we're taking on and providing the engineering aspect. So it's architecture and engineering. Typically it's A&E is abbreviated. So in the last week or two, David and I have been assessing both buildings. We've gone through the basement, we've gone up into the tower, we've seen the foundation, and we've also toured the entire Church Street building and trying to lay the groundwork for moving forward. And if there's ever questions regarding the structure or the building systems, that's when David and I kind of put our heads together and help build the right path to go down and then present that back to the building committee. So that's really all I have to say. David covered it all very well in the beginning of this.
I do have one other thing I want to mention. Thank you, Jim. As a part of the process of going through and scoping out what work needs to be done between both buildings, we've been doing this in an ongoing fashion for some time, even since the Hawkins Room renovation planning was underway. So we've got a good grasp on a lot of stuff. We're just trying to kind of dot I's and cross T's and make sure that we've left no stone unturned. To that end, in conjunction with the fundraising, the capital campaign that's ongoing, we're also trying to identify those sources of funding that could be available to the church to help supplement the donations that have been given now and potentially in the future from the broader array of the community. So we're looking into historical elements of the church that might be available for dollars from the State Historic Preservation Office. Through the consolidated funding application, which is going to prove to be a daunting task, and we're looking to facilitate help with that through a grant writer who is intimately familiar with that process. We're also looking at tapping into some broader community family trusts that are managed in the local area, again, as a way to kind of ensure that no stone be left unturned through this process, because as we discover things, there will be things that come up that were not previously known, and we just need to be diligent in ensuring that every dollar that is identified to be spent, there's something there to cover that expenditure. So we look forward to the year to come, and we appreciate your support and patience as we work through this. And if anybody should have any questions about anything, please don't hesitate to ask me or John when you see us. Thank you.
Thank you. We could have a round of applause for these steps. And at this time, I'd like to invite Nancy Brown to come forward to talk to us about our capital campaign results.
Good morning. I just want to say how exciting it is to hear of our next steps that we're taking. And I do want to just take 1 minute to once again thank Dave and John and Mother Lori for their vision. So exciting as it is to hear what our next steps are, you're probably wondering how we're going to pay for this. So in September, we kicked off a capital campaign, and I'd like to give you the results. Our goal was $450,000. 350 were to cover the costs of the projects in this church. 100,000 was to be seed money for One Church Street. And these are the exact figures that we have. $102,605 has already been paid. Next year, we expect $107,370. In 2016, we expect $98,026. 2017, we expect $97,524. I'm not reading those very well, I'm really sorry. And 2018, $45,300. In 2019, the final $17,100. And just to add that all up, those are pledges that have been made that total $473,000 and $225. And in addition to that, there's been $6,600 in labor pledged for a grand total of $479,825. So give yourselves a round of applause. That funds all of the projects here and nearly one-third of the projects next door. Thanks to all the people who are listed in the program who have served on the committee, and especially to Sandy Van Slyke and Holly Chamberlain, who have painstakingly done all these numbers and tracked them for us. Thank you all for your prayers and your participation. Thank God for his guidance. And we'll be kicking off a campaign for the rest of the community, for the rest of the funds that are needed in the spring. So thanks very much.
Nancy worked tirelessly on this. People have looked at me and said, wow, look how much money, quote unquote, you raised. The rector was not actually a part of that whole process. I want to make sure that Nancy and the committee receive the credit they're due, because my job was to be the pastoral advisor to the congregation, and it was suggested actually that the rector does not get directly involved with the raising of those funds. So you really have to thank those people who were on that committee, particularly Nancy, for her vision and her belief that this was going to happen, and in fact has far exceeded the generosity that we prayed about. So thank you again, Nancy, for everything that you continue to provide for this parish. Tom, if you would like to come up for a minute and talk about stewardship.
As I was drafting my stewardship committee report, it kept turning more into a testimony than a report. So I thought, all right, I'm going to testify today to an experience, my experience of this past year in stewardship. I know that all of you follow everything that the stewardship committee does with deep interest and you attention to detail. But just in case, a little review might be one of the themes we have had over the last couple years is how many times in Scripture it says, if you share yourself, if you give yourself to the kingdom of God, God will bless you. And okay, here's my testimony. We've heard the numbers that have been assembled by us this year. Going back to when we started, there was a committee that John and Dave talked about that spent a fair amount of time, a fair amount of effort, and a fair amount of prayer coming up with a vision for preserving our historic presence in downtown and taking ministry in a new direction. And we laid that before everybody, and a number of people spent a fair amount of time and went really out of their comfort zones to ask people to participate. And man, did you ever do it. Mm-hmm. The numbers speak for themselves, and the numbers are important, as I say in my report, because we live in a world where we have to buy services and buy materials to do all of our ministry. So we need to know what the numbers are. But what hit me was, as we laid that vision for ministry before you, you with your pledge card said, I'm in. I'm in. Count me in. Let's go. That's what really, talk about a reaffirmation. When we started that whole campaign, I think everyone would say, I know for myself, little trembly about a fairly audacious goal. Really wondering if we were doing the right thing. And saying, okay, we got to step out in faith, a phrase you hear all the time. We're going to step out in faith, and we're going to see how this goes. And God blessed us. God blessed me by seeing you all step up and say, yes, let's do it. And I found that very reaffirming, very, very encouraging, very strengthening. When we put out our literature and our stuff on the website for stewardship, we use the terms sharing and with intent. It's not just giving. I like to think of it as sharing, or you could think of it as investing in the enterprise that is the ministry of St. John's. And the reason I like that nomenclature is because when we give, we're getting something back too. When we share, somebody else is sharing with us. When we invest, there's a return on that investment. I experience it every time I come in these doors. It's whether you pledge, it's whether you greet people at the front door, it's whether you bring goodies for coffee hour, it's whatever you're doing, when you're volunteering at J-Time, you're investing yourself in the ministry of St. John's and you're getting a benefit back. I think that's great. So I want to say thank you to all of you for making me feel really good.
Typically what we were taught to expect was if we did this capital campaign that we would actually experience lower giving in our stewardship campaign, and in fact the exact opposite happened, which tells me that God must be at work, because we all have limited resources, and the fact is that so many of us then stepped up either for the first time or in addition to what we had given before in order to increase the totals of our stewardship. Now, as I tell Tom every year, I'm not resting until what we raise for our annual stewardship covers our annual budget. So we still have work to do, and we have more to encourage in each other, as well as more work to do. So we will talk about that in a little bit as well. We have all the written reports. We don't have actual reports. We are going to ask Barb Cameron to come forward in 1 minute for something. But first, I would like each of these people to stand, if they're here. If they're not, we certainly understand. Our acolyte ministry person, Mike Lawler, if you would stand. Audrey Klein and Bonnie Velkovic. I know Bonnie's in Florida. I don't know if Audrey's here, but if you're here, Audrey, if you would please stand. Buildings and Grounds, Roger Rhodes. Capital Campaign Committee, that would be Nancy, please, if you would stand. 21 North Market Street, I'm going to go with Dave. You get to stand for that, okay? Because most of us could stand. Family Ministry, Steve McGrattan, if you could stand. Food Pantry, the Mickles attend the Johnstown Reformed Church, so they can't stand, but they would. Minister of Music, Dr. Bob, wherefore art thou? Are you? Oh, good. If you could stand, thank you. NOAA Free Community Meals, Nancy Travis, if you're here, if you could please stand. The Outreach Committee, Nancy is already standing. I'm telling you these names so that you see the people associated with this. Parish Life and Special Events, Nancy Marucci, if you would stand. Or is there somebody in addition? If you can, I want to make sure if you think there are additional people that you mention them. Sunday School, Lee and Pam, if you would stand. The Warden's Report, well, Sandy, you get to stand on that for now. The Women of St. John's, Barbara Cameron, and I know that Joanne has been helping with that as well, and youth ministry is what I'm responsible for I'm standing. If we could give a round of applause to all of these people, it's such an incredible privilege to serve with you. Thank you. At this time, we have the report of the treasurer for our 2015 operating budget, and Holly Chamberlain is our esteemed treasurer and works extraordinarily hard doing this work. This is never easy work, and I'm only really coming on board now. We now have a finance committee as well. We meet on a monthly basis to talk about the finances of the church. There is nothing casual about the money that you are donating to the church, knowing that God will use it for his best purposes. So Holly, without further ado, I'll turn this over to you. Thank you.
Annual report to page 15, which is the budget for this coming year. This represents our income for the year and what we have projected in our annual budget. Once again, we are enormously grateful that the green portion is a huge portion of our income, and that is the pledge and plate income. You'll notice in the budget this year, line 5, that's typically our special fundraising events. That's the income from the special fundraising events. No one has stood up and said, I'm willing to volunteer to do XYZ for a fundraiser for the general fund of the church. We have wine and chocolate tasting every year, raises a tremendous amount of money, dedicated to NOAA. That $2,000 is dedicated to the mission trips. No other special events are planned. We need some red slices there. On line 15 is our general insurance, your liability insurance. I just want to point this out. You'll notice that compared to the 2014 budget, which is the first column, the 2015 budget is much lower even though we own another building. That might be confusing to you. That's because Sandy and I have separated out. We have one policy that covers both buildings here, actually in the rectory too. We have three buildings. And we've separated out the part that applies to the new building. So it looks like it's lower. It's not lower, because we're paying for that part of the building too. Line 23, that's the administrative assistant. This is the wage that we pay our office secretary, our administrative assistant. We budgeted last year, that's 2014, $15,000 for that. It is significantly lower than that, and that's because we had lots of volunteer help, you'll remember, in the beginning of the year last year. And Lee Miller, our current one, did not come on until February. It's just representative of a lower amount of hours that were put into that job. And you'll notice that we have projected for 2015 to have slightly more than that. Move down then to the bottom line. And that is at the bottom of the page. And it's red. The vestry this year decided that the way we would present the budget and the way we would adopt the budget is to honestly show what this budget is without taking any endowment funds out. Every year in the past, we have taken endowment funds out of the endowment to help pay for the deficit in our operating budget. It's not much. It's not much compared to our large financial activity in this church. But this year we have a deficit of $36,000 and change. That's what that gray area is. That's the unfunded part of our operating budget for this coming year. If we don't increase our income by some way or decrease our expenses by some huge amount, we're going to have to take that amount of money out of the endowment to balance our budget. And none of us want to do that. It's much more responsible, fiscally responsible, to leave our budget and not use to balance our operating budget. So that's what we bring to your attention every year with the pie chart, the nice gray portion of the pie, which is the unfunded part for this coming year. Yes, this budget is not for both buildings. That's the difference. This budget is the church budget for this building and for the rectory. We are keeping a separate budget for the new building for a variety of reasons, not just to track what the costs, the utility costs and the overhead type costs are on that building, but also our investments into that building, the purchase price, any repairs, major repairs that we have to do to that building. So that is actually a separate budget that Sandy and I have developed. That's right. And that other portion of the insurance shows on that budget. We will probably be showing you two budgets next year at this time in the annual meeting to indicate to you what we're going to have to keep a separate budget just so that we can track. You're talking about Sunday school? Line 35, Sunday school expenses?
Line 37.
Oh, that's Christian Ed. That's the adult education. Line 35 is the Sunday. Line 35 is the Sunday school expenses. You can tell by the first column that was budgeted this past year at $400. We came in really, really close. And next year we are budgeting $750, slightly higher than that. Line 37 is the Christian education. That's the Bible study that we have. This is a little bit different than the Sunday school because, as we discussed this morning, when we have materials that the adults use, they frequently purchase those materials. So the church buys them, and then we are reimbursed for most of those purchases back in the line 4 in the income section under other reimbursements. So when you see this number on line 37, Christian Ed, it does cost us $500 to put it on, but almost all of that is reimbursed through our income line. So that's a blessing that we have for Christian Ed. Anybody else? Thanks.
Last November, the executive committee of the Women of St. John's got together with Mother Lori to discuss the future of the Women of St. John's. And due to a lack of membership and other concerns that we had, we concluded that the program truly ran its course and that the Women of St. John's would disband by the end of the year. couple of the activities still remain. Katie Grady will still continue to sell Rada cutlery, and Arlene Sitterly will still continue to mail out cards to everybody. And both of those activities are going to roll up under the outreach ministry under Nancy Brown. All the remaining funds that we had, we donated to the outreach committee. There was about $1,200 that we donated to them. I'm really sure, and I really believe, that we're opening up a new space for something new and exciting to happen. We need to pray to God that He will give us direction for some spiritual ministry to take place. And on behalf of the women of St. John's, we'd like to thank you, and we'd like to thank you for all your support in regards to all the fundraising activities that took place last year.
I agree with Barbara. I think there is a new thing that will be happening. It is not simply that one thing has changed, but that God is leaving room for something else to happen. And I really and truly believe that. We've had conversations and prayed about that, which moves me right into the rector's report. I'm not going to read this. I'm going to talk about a few other things. I'm sure that you have had the opportunity to look at some of our statistics. They're good. This is a report that rectors would love to give, I have to tell you. We've had an extraordinary increase in attendance, an 18% increase. We did have some wonderful events, however. We had the ordination of Father Mark. We had a biker blessing. Currently, we have none of those new things on the schedule for this coming year, and we're going to talk about the kinds of events that we believe God would have us hold that we are called to. But some of those special events are the things that bring additional people into the church, as well as your invitation to other people to attend our Sunday worship services. This does remain kind of the bread and butter of church. Our prayer table has been extraordinary, and once again, we thank Father Mark and Darlene for helping us do that new ministry. I don't even know how to say how meaningful that ministry is, not just to our community, but to every single person who stops by there. We have people who just stop by and they're like, well, I'm just checking in on you. I'm not really here for prayer. And we always say, well, maybe we'll just pray like after you leave. And they're like, well, that'll be fine. We continue to need new prayers, however. So it's very important at the same time that people who feel called to that ministry, we're going to have an intercessory prayer team at the back of the church, as we have had before, as well as a prayer table ministry. Thanks to the ministrations of Father Mark, he has a compassionate and strong servant's heart, he and his wife, and they have brought to us a great foundation of spiritual stability in the way that they approach their own lives as well as the life of this church. And we're extraordinarily grateful. And you can see the statistics for that. I would invite anyone to come forward who has finished the one-year study Bible. If you would come forward, I have something for you. This was not an easy job, this reading the Bible in 1 year. We all admitted it every time we got together. But I have to say that I think it is an amazing thing to have been able to do. And we have Louise Darrow to thank for that. She really brought it to our attention last year. Before 2013, she brought it to our attention. And then in 2014, we embarked on this incredible journey, and so many people were able to complete it. And so a very small token of the church's appreciation and of acknowledgement through the reading of the Bible this past year that has come true for you as well. So a round of applause for those people who have. Having said that, this year, while we can continue to read our study Bibles through the year, we are moving into the new Lenten project of What on Earth Am I Here For? I haven't read this book yet, and I'm looking forward to it myself. So when you take this journey, I will be taking it with you. We will talk after we complete this study about what it is that we believe God is leading us to do next. And they are also, if you can't, I want to make sure I say it again, for some reason you don't want to buy it, or you can't buy it, just say, I need a book. You can have a book. Some people have asked us how you can give to your St. John's Capital campaign. If you look on the back of your annual meeting agenda, if you look on the back of that, you will see that it tells you, how do I give to St. John's? This is how you can actually contribute to your capital campaign fund as well as to your stewardship pledge. You will see that what we are asking people to do, if it is possible, is to give separate checks for each of these things. You are welcome to put those in the offering. We ask that you make sure to put in the memo line what purpose your check is to be used for. If you give cash, it must be in an envelope with your name on it and the purpose on the outside of the envelope. When cash comes in, we have no way of tracing it back to an individual. Anything that you submit that has your name on it in that way, including cash in an envelope, will appear on the tax statements, on the contribution statements that you receive that Sandy Vanslyke puts together. This sheet will also be in the next contribution statement that you receive, so you will understand how you can continue to contribute to both your stewardship and your capital campaign. The rector's report that I presented to you talked about the extraordinary nature of what's already been happening. I have my little five bullet points. By January 2017, I would like to see the NOAA program and food pantry up and operational. I would like to think they'd even be open before that, but that we would have a grand opening in January of 2017, much as we had, not by plan, our first NOAA meal over there at the first weekend of January, thanks to Mike Lawler and his team. By this time next year, I pray we will have an accessible community space for coffee and conversation at our One Church Street facility. I'd love there to be a kind of a drop-in program where people come in, read a newspaper, have a conversation, and have a cup of coffee. I really envision that space as a community center. We will have completed important church projects. This is my favorite line: carpeting, sound system, and we will have applied for grants, spoken with people who represent foundations in our area, and I promise you, chase down every possible additional source of funding that might help us reach our goal more quickly. These are essential ministries of the church and of the community. So we're going to work really hard to make sure that those happen and to use all the resources that we know are available to do that. We will reach out and continually to engage the community in the project that extends beyond the walls of these buildings and reaches into the hearts and lives of the people in our communities, neighborhoods, and families. I'm going to give you the warning. What happens when churches are doing really well, and what happens perhaps in our own lives when we're doing really well, is we get kind of fat and happy. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself. We often become complacent. We tend to think, well, look at that. God has blessed St. John's. Look at us. We're doing so well. Here's what actually happens when these kinds of things happen. And I'm going to say some things that you might not have heard before, and gosh darn it, they might even sound fundamentalist. We come under attack, actually. What happens is, even amongst this family, we become divisive. We argue with each other about the right things to do because we feel we know better how something should be spent than someone else. We gossip, we nitpick, we hold grudges, we get angry, and we think, well, that's just how I am. That's just who I am. God did not give us money. You did that. God has given us responsibility, faith, and love to carry out these projects that are going to require all of us to work together. When has it ever served us to fight against one another in a family, in a congregation, and in a community? We are entitled to our opinions. We are entitled to our ideas. We are not entitled to belittle someone else. I'm not saying that I've had this happen. I don't think it has. But it can, and I've seen it happen. So even as we hear all this good news and we leave thinking, wow, we're doing better than the XYZ church, that is the first sign. We are no better than our least servant. We need to continue serving more meals at NOAA. We need to continue giving away more food at our food pantry. We need to continue expanding our ministries and doing more. God has given us more because he's trusting us to do more. So I'm going to ask you to pray harder. I'm probably going to ask you to work harder, to volunteer more time, the same way that you have given of your financial resources. We're going to need more help, more faith, more love, more tolerance in order to continue to grow this great work. We actually are capable sabotaging all of it ourselves. And that will not happen because we are going to be united together in the love of God to do the good work of God. But I want to warn you ahead of time because that's what tends to happen. And I know that Father Mark is no stranger to this. These are conversations we've had before when certain things have happened and we have prayed and recognized that ministries are under attack here at the church. So I want to make sure to say that to you, so that it's not surprising. So when you feel that welling up in yourself that you want to fight against somebody else in the church, you pray about it, you think about it, and you use your indoor words. You speak with compassion about one another and about the mission of the church, and instead of saying, I know better, you say the words, maybe I can help. I have not come to this church to do any of this work we're doing. I'm amazed, blessed, and happy to do it, but I absolutely need all of you to be on the team in order to do it well. My workload has increased dramatically. All I wanted to do was a couple of little church services, and I wanted to like all of you. Really, I was kind of cheerful about that. I love all of you. So already, that's so much better than I knew it was going to be. But there is so much more work to do. So this is our call to arms. I ask all of you to work together with each other, with me, with our continued leadership, that we do not have the divisiveness that I see so often undercuts ministries of the church, but that instead, and so for example, saying, you know, I don't really want to do a book for Lent. Do the book for Lent. Take it on. Don't say, Rick Warren, Saddleback, fundamentalist. Look, I know all the language. I could say it too. What you say is, there's something in here that God has for me, and I'm going to take it on. Instead of, but I want to do something. No. This is what we're doing. 40 days. That's all it is. God has something here for us, and I invite you to continue this journey with us. And so I say these words with love and care and compassion because I've seen these things happening. I've heard the gossip. I've gotten more anonymous letters from people. I can't answer your anonymous letters. Please speak to me. Don't send me an anonymous letter. It doesn't do any of us any good. I share it with the vestry. I share it with the staff. But we can't address it if you don't speak with one of us about it. And let us continue to grow the kingdom of God brick by brick, using the scripture verses that I put at the beginning of my rector's report. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Well, you've been called. Let's make it official. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. So there are a few things that I'm going to do now. One of them is I printed out these really handy. A person sent me a greeting card. It's on our sign outside now, this exact same thing. It says, "You were born to make manifest the glory of God." It's an epiphany statement. Epiphany means manifestation. How do we see God in this season? Look around you, please. This is how we see God. You were born to make manifest the glory of God. And on the back, it says, "We pray not to obtain our will in heaven, but to effect God's will on earth." That is a very different way of looking at prayer. I want to make sure that we are thanking our outgoing vestry members, Sandy Van Slyke, Jack Velkovic, who is down in Florida at this time. Nancy Brown is moving up, but I would like Nancy to come forward anyhow, so if you would please come forward to receive our appreciation. These are the 2014 official St. John's mugs, and we want to make sure that you know how much you are continually appreciated. Vestry is so joyful, but you will grow in faith and you will grow in dedication to God, I promise you. It sounds impossible. We have a great vestry. Everything you've ever heard before about other vestries, it's not true. Ours is amazing. What we do every year, for those of you who might not be familiar, I take a series of pictures of things that have happened this past year and I put them on the 2014 commemorative mug, and no one else in the church has them but outgoing vestry members and, oh well, Father Mark. If Holly Chamberlain would come forward now. I can't do my job alone, you all know that. And so you say, yes, of course, you have God to help you. No, I have Sandy and Holly, and they have gotten the emergency phone calls, and they have heard me and they have weathered so many storms with me and have helped me in so many ways. And so I have gotten particular things for each of them to say thank you. There is a third bouquet of flowers here. I want to make sure you know why those are here. I'm going to go deliver one to Jim's wife, Carol, to share him so much of the time. So I'll put it up here. And now I would like all of you to stand up because it's just going to be me, but I'm going to applaud all of you all by myself. You're just going to have to stand there and take it for a second. I'll turn off my microphone because you have no idea how grateful I am every single time I see your faces anywhere in this building, how much appreciation I have for you, how much love I have for you, and how much hope I have for this congregation, because I see God doing a great work, and I cannot believe that I've been called to serve with you this way. So I'm going to give you a one-woman round of applause, if you don't mind. I'm going to address one other thing, because you might not know this. You know that I'm engaged. If you don't know I'm engaged, I'm engaged. And I'm engaged to a man who lives across the ocean in Northern Ireland, and he will be moving here. So there are still people who don't know that, and I want to make sure that I do say that at the annual meeting so that it's in the record and people know that Alistair will be moving here, we hope, sometime this year when we are able to be married. And I will honestly tell you, and I'm not telling this to make you feel good about yourself, I made a deal with God that I was going to do work here, and it was a deal breaker in my relationship because I wasn't moving anywhere. I was staying here no matter what, because this is too important, and I believe that God is empowering us to do this, and for some reason, he's called me to help all of us do that. Oh, dear, sorry.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. Stone, this Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, thank you.
Just quickly, thank you from Darlene and me for welcoming us the way you have, making us a part of your community. But it brings me to the point that's been made throughout this meeting and by Steve earlier in his sermon and by Tom in the statements he made. We're committed. You're committed, but we need each other. Lord, we thank you for being among us today. Be with us as we go about our days and the week ahead and the weeks ahead. Lord, make your way known to us, and may we go forth now in the purposes of God. And I ask that he bless you each in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Is there a motion made to adjourn the meeting? Tom Bell has moved. Is there a second? Gary Miller has seconded. All in favor? Motion carried. I invite you all to come to coffee hour at the conclusion of our annual meeting.